Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to the book of John, chapter 15.
If you would, first five verses of John chapter 15, let's stand together. John chapter 15, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this time together, for the one that was baptized, Lord, for the opportunity to sing the songs of praise, for the opportunity, Lord, to even give back to you as you've given to us. And now as we look into the word, Lord, we pray that it could be a blessing and an encouragement to each and every one that is here. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. In John chapter 14, we find that that chapter was spoken to the disciples while they were in the Passover chamber. The great thought of, "Let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me," is found in chapter 14. Also in verse 16, it says, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter," that of the Holy Spirit. And how about verse 27, which we spoke from last week? "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." And again, the thought of, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." But as we come into chapter 15, this was spoken by Jesus to his disciples on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus gives some great and marvelous thoughts in this chapter. He, knowing what awaits him in the garden, states that they should be followers of Christ, but they can do nothing without him. And may I say this, it's still true today, that we can do nothing for the cause of Christ outside of Christ. In verse 10, he states, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Remember this, God is love, and true love is in God. Verse 11 says, "That my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." Now, I'm not going to say that everything is going to be wonderful in life, but we that are born again can have the joy of Christ. And when we go through the difficult times of life, there can still be joy because you know the Lord is your Savior. In verse 12, it says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Now, let me ask you, is that an easy thing to do, to love one another? That's hard, isn't it? It's hard. You know, it's hard enough to love yourself and maybe your mate, let alone other people. But we're to love one another. Then as Jesus knows that he will be crucified and will die the next day, declares, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Christ knows that he is going to the garden where he will be betrayed and arrested and taken for trials, and yet he talks about laying down his life for his friends. In verse 15, "Henceforth I call you not servants, but I have called you friends." That's a nice word, isn't it, friends? It's nice to be amongst friends. You know, sadly, I know a lot of people who have family that are not their friends. But friends are important. The Bible talks about a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Verse 16 goes against many of today's thinking about seeker-friendly churches, as Jesus says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." If it's left up to us, we won't choose the Lord. But because of the convicting of the Spirit, we'll come to him. And then verse 16 goes one step further, that ye should go and bring forth fruit. Now we'll leave verses 18 through 27 for another sermon. But they're on the way to the garden. And what better use of a segue than to talk about a vine than on the way to the vineyard? Jesus says, "I am the true vine. I am the true source of spiritual strength. I am the one that will lead you during your walk in life." Jesus, on many occasions, talked about being the I am. He said, "I am the light of the world." Folks, we live in a dark world, a sin-cursed world, and it's good to know that there is a light, and that light is Jesus Christ. And the problem is that our enemy, Satan's desire, is to blind mankind, to keep him away from the light. You know what light does? It shows you when there's something wrong. I was at the dentist a couple of weeks ago. I'm glad I can say I was at the dentist a couple of weeks ago and not that I have to go to the dentist this week. Can I hear an amen on that? Amen. You know, I feel sorry for dentists and hygienists. They're only doing their job. But how many of you really like to go to the dentist? I mean, you really look forward to going to the dentist. I don't see a single hand. No. But have you noticed, and you do know this, that as soon as you sit in the chair and the hygienist says, "Open your mouth," they're going to do what? Shine that light in your mouth, right? How many of you ask for the sunglasses? I always ask for sunglasses. If you don't, ask for sunglasses. It helps a little bit. I said a little bit. But why do they shine that light into your mouth? Is it to see your tongue? No, they want to see what's going on inside, don't they? They want to see if there's any decay. They want to see if you have been flossing. They want to see if you've been brushing. Well, the Lord is the light, and he reveals what needs to be changed. He said, "I am the bread of life." Do you like good pizza? How many of you, I mean, you really like good pizza? I mean, and good pizza begins with what? Good bread. If you don't have good bread, you're not going to have good pizza. It's just a fact of life. But Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." He says, "I am the door." There's only one door into heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. There are many religions. I mean, there are scads of religions. And some say, well, we're all trying to get to the same place. Well, they may all be trying to get to the same place, but there's only one way that will get you to where you want to go. And that's through Jesus Christ. He says, "I am the good shepherd." He says, "I'm not going to run when the wolf comes. I'm not going to run when the enemy comes. I'm going to be there when the difficult times of life come. I'm going to be there when you stand before the God and the judge of the universe. I'm going to be there. I am the good shepherd." He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus says, "I am the vine." Dr. David H. Sorensen writes in his commentaries, Understanding the Bible, says this, quote, "As the disciples walked slowly to the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus after the Last Supper, he taught them an eternal truth in the matter of the vine, branches, and bearing fruit. In focusing upon the end of the verse, Jesus makes it clear that the husbandman was the owner of the vineyard. This likely is the ultimate fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 5. And in the vineyard of Israel, God has planted Jesus Christ as the true vine, or as Isaiah 5 describes it, the choicest vine, unquote. If you would, take your Bibles and keeping your place here, turn to Isaiah chapter 5, if you would, please. Isaiah chapter 5, and we're going to read the first 7 verses. Isaiah chapter 5, and we're going to begin at verse 1. And it says, now will I sing to my beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine. Notice it's singular, the choicest vine. And built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you that I will go to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the walls thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry. We find that Jesus went and he was rejected, and wild grapes were given. But his desire is that there will be fruit. Jesus truly is the life source of all spiritual fruit that is produced. Now, may I say this? A lot of times people do things for the cause of Christ, but it's for their own honor and glory. They have their glory. But we are to do things for his honor and for his glory. When we sing the songs, it's for his honor and glory. When we take time in the week to read from the Word of God, it's for his honor and for his glory. We are to be his honor and glory. And as such, he desires, no, expects us to produce fruit. He expects it. Now, I remember this past year, my wife planted some tomatoes. And it's always good to get tomatoes when you plant tomatoes, right? Maybe you planted zucchini. People who plant zucchini, they always have enough zucchini, don't they? In fact, I find people who plant zucchini are trying to look for friends to give the zucchini. But maybe you grew green beans or maybe some other type of fruit. Now, none of you grew peas, right? Nobody planted peas this year. I can hardly say anything since the Wutke sang a duet and Brother Paul. Oh, snap peas. I can live with snap peas. Okay. But the fact of the matter is, we expect fruit from those things that we plant. Correct? And the Lord expects us to produce. That's what he expects. There are two types of fruit. There's the fruit of the Spirit, as seen in Galatians, and there is the fruit of reproduction. Now, the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians, we know it to be love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Those ought to be things that are part of our life as we mature for the cause of Christ. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. But then there's the fruit of reproduction. Before we can produce fruit, though, we must be right with the Lord. Before fruit, there must be life. How is your spiritual condition today? Yesterday, I was vacuuming, and I was by a certain plant, and I told Donna, I said, this plant is dry. And she goes, well, it's dying. Don't you find it sad when ivy dies? I like ivy. I don't know what it is about ivy. I just think it's really neat. There are different types of ivy. I don't think you can have enough ivy. I like ivy. And it's dying. No, I didn't cry. But you know what was good is there was some ivy that was there that was still looking good and healthy. That's good, isn't it? And you know, in every church, there are healthy, born-again believers. And in every church, there are unhealthy, born-again believers. Which one are we? See, how does one remain healthy? By being close to the Lord. By being in His Word, by being in His church, by being with fellow Christians, by praying to the Lord, we can remain spiritually healthy. You never look for fruit from a dead tree. And that being said, a soul dead in sin cannot bring forth fruit. Now, we're not going to go down a list of sins. We all know what sin is. Those things that are contrary to the Lord. Those things that are contrary to the teaching of the Word of God. We know what trespasses are and iniquities and abominations. And we know that the Lord hates sin. But aren't you glad He loves sinners? The fact of the matter is the Bible tells us that God so loved the world and we are sinners that He gave His only begotten Son. So that we can believe and have everlasting life. He loves the sinner, but He hates the sin. And sin creates a wedge between us and God. Remember, the source of the fruit is not in the branch, but in the vine. It's in the vine. Now the branches have the fruit, but it's because they are attached to the vine. Without Jesus, we are as helpless as a newborn baby. Don't you always find it amazing that a horse, when it is born, I guess it's a colt then, but within minutes, it's up on its feet? Or a deer or animals. Do you find that amazing? But baby humans, what are they without their mother and father? They're helpless. And without Jesus, we are as that newborn baby. We're helpless. We are as a lost sheep. Wandering, wondering what to do. We are as a leper looking for health. We are as useless as a cashless ATM machine. I mean, if an ATM machine is sitting there and it has no cash in it, what a value is it? Now you say, well, I can put my check in. Well, you can do that anywhere. If you want money out of an ATM machine, you want it, right? I remember the first time I ever used an ATM machine. Now, I'd had a card for quite a while, but I was still old school. I kept going inside and waiting in line and you know, waiting to see how long it would take me and hating it when there was somebody there from a store and they'd brought in all their money and they had to count it. Do you like that? So you don't really want to go on a Monday. But I remember the first time I ever used an ATM machine. It was in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. My wife said, and she has done this I don't know how many times, I don't want to go home. You know, vacation's over, I'm ready to go home. And she goes, I don't want to go home. And so she convinced me we should stay another day. And instead of driving halfway, okay, and spending the night maybe in Kentucky, she wants me to drive all, did you notice? She wants me to drive all the way home on the next day. All the way. And I put my card into this ATM machine in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and it came across the screen. It said, hello, Paul Madonna. I thought that was scary. I didn't know this machine. I didn't know this bank. And I put my card in there. You know, the Lord knows where we're at. He wants to be with us. Do we want to be with Him? Do we want to remain faithful to Him? Our relationship with Christ is that as a believer, our life begins and continues in Christ. Now, we cannot lose our salvation, but we can lose blessings and we can lose fellowship. That's why we need to remain close to the Lord. We are totally dependent upon Him for spiritual health and well-being. Don't think, well, I'm strong enough. I've been a believer for 40-odd years. I know all the scripture stories. And when he begins to talk about Jonah, I know that he was swallowed by the great fish. And I know he was thrown out after 3 days. I know all the stories. But how close are you to the Lord? I've known of preachers that weren't close to the Lord. We've known of people who came to church on a regular basis that were even angry at the Lord. But we need to be in a good fellowship with the Lord. Notice what it says back there in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. We should never try to put ourselves as being to the point where we are equal with Jesus. It says, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. So how do we bring fruit? We abide in him. We must abide in him. Up in verse 2, it talks about purging so that we can have even more fruit. The removal of that which is dead, removal of that which is cluttering up the branch that is keeping it from breathing well or taking nutrients that it shouldn't have. And so it does some purging. And there might be something in your life or my life that needs to be removed. And do we like that? No. We don't like it if the pastor says, well, this needs to be done, and you begin to think I'm talking to you. Well, how do you know I'm not talking to somebody else? And the fact of the matter is, I'm not talking to either one of you. I'm just talking, and I'm letting the Holy Spirit guide it to you. Because I don't know where you are in your spiritual walk. Would you say this, that as we came today, we come in looking like we don't have a problem in the world? Because most of us are hiding what's really going on in our lives. But the Lord knows. And there are times that we need to remove certain things from our lives so that we can become fruit bearers. We must be willing to cooperate with Him to be fruitful. And this cooperation comes with great possibilities. Think what could be done. In conclusion, I always find that you like it when I say in conclusion. It doesn't matter what time of the sermon I use it. I sometimes think I ought to begin with the conclusion. You'd be so excited through the whole sermon. Yes, in conclusion, I have 3 points. I just want you to know that this conclusion has 3 points, okay? 3 thoughts. There are the branches, there are the disciples, and there are friends. The branches. As branches, we receive. What are we receiving? We are receiving the strength to remain faithful. We are regaining those things that will help us be fruitful. To be fruitful. As disciples, we are followers. Are we a follower of the Lord? How important it is that we remain close to Him. Followers. But how about friends? Up in verse 15, let's look at that. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not his Lord, or what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. Now, I haven't done this since about the second week in November. You say, what to that? To walk away from the pulpit. Aren't you excited? Did you notice I didn't use the chair at all today? Yeah, praise the Lord for that, huh? I remember back there the last 2 Sundays of November and the first 2 Sundays of December, I wasn't even here. Did you miss me? Yes, well, you're very kind. Yes. Pastor Stephen, though, I still hear compliments on how good a job you did when I was gone. And God blessed you during this time, blessed our church. And we're very happy that he was able to do that for us. And talking about friends, so where have I come? I've come to my best friend. Give me a moment. I've come to my best friend. But you know, we need to have friends in life, don't we? Sometimes we can feel lonely. But who is our very best friend? If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, He is your best friend. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and what? Forever. He's not going to betray us. He's not going to leave us in a lurch. He's going to be there for us. What did Jesus say about the branches? Without me, you can do nothing. Your friend wants to be there for you. But whose decision is it to remain friends with the Lord? It's our choice, isn't it? We have to make the choice. Shall we stand together? We'll sing a song of invitation. Maybe this morning you'd just like to come and thank the Lord for being such a good friend. But maybe you don't know this friend. Oh, you've heard of him. And at Christmas time, we sing about him. And then at Easter, we talk about his resurrection. But you don't know him as your Savior. We'd love to be able to show you from the Word of God what you have to do to become a born-again believer and a friend of the Lord's. Maybe you'd just like to come and pray for someone that you know is having a hard time, struggling right now. The altar is here. It's not a place of shame. It's not a place where you should be embarrassed to come. But maybe you'd like to come and just pray. You can pray by yourself, or if you want someone to pray with you, we'd be glad to have someone pray with you. We're going to sing a song of invitation, 395. Truly, there is a great day coming. But there's always also a sad day coming to those that don't know the Lord. And so after we sing the song, we'll have the invitation. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this time together. And Lord, we're thankful for the friendship that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that the Spirit would move at this time. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen.